Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text for this Oculi, the third Sunday of Lent, is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 13th chapter. And we're going to read from the 18th verse in that chapter through the end of the chapter, verse 35. It's Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 35, where we read in the name of our Lord. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that the prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, once again we do thank you for this, your word. So, Father, we are thirsty for it, and we come to you. And even as your word says, so you will give us to drink. And, Father, we understand very clearly our ways are not yours. Our thoughts are not yours. Yours are way above ours. And so, Father, we pray for your understanding and your grace. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So as we come to this text, and I told you last week, you know, these texts, I took them in different order than they are in the lectionary. I did that for good reason, because, you know, we understand going through this that Jesus was telling people, don't look at other people and judge them according to their circumstance. Jesus says, just don't do that. Says that's not your pay grade, so to speak, he says. You know, you understand very clearly. He says what each person needs is to be brought to this place before God when we acknowledge the goodness and the grace of God, and we are filled with that goodness and grace. And therefore, we are not moved to judge, but rather be in a very different place. And this is what he goes on to say. As he comes through this, he talks about this woman who had been sick. He heals her on the Sabbath. They're all upset with him for healing her on the Sabbath. And he goes and he simply says, who of you, if you got an ox or if you got some animal and it gets into a tough strait on the Sabbath, who of you isn't going to rescue that animal? He says, now, let me understand this. So you're thinking that you would go out and rescue an animal, and I've got this woman that's been sick for 18 years, and I shouldn't lose her because it's a Sabbath? And this is the point that he's really trying to make, is to realize the nature of the grace of God, is to really recognize and know the grace of God, the intervening grace of God, that God sees and knows the circumstance, God understands, and God does not judge, God saves, God shows grace. And when he does this, what's very interesting, it says all the people, all of his adversaries were ashamed, you know, when he turned this on them. And it says that all the people rejoiced in this. And then he turns around and he gives these two quick little parables. He says, what's the kingdom of God like? He says, what is the kingdom of God like? And he says to them, well, it's kind of like a little mustard seed. He says, it's like a little tiny seed. He says, which a guy takes and he puts in the ground, and all of a sudden what happens? It grows into this huge tree. He says, and in this huge tree, he says, all the birds come and they hang out in its branches. You know, they live in the branches of this thing. And so then again, he says, so what am I supposed to tell you that God's kingly reign is like? He says, well, it's like leaven. He says, it's like leaven, which a woman takes. She puts it in three seahs of flour, you know, which is bushels. So she's got three bushels of flour. She puts this little bit of leaven in there, and he says, and what happens? He says, the whole thing becomes leavened. And that's precisely the point. What's it like? He says, stealthily, he says, this is what it does. He says, the kingdom of God branches out and becomes this wonderful, wonderful, great thing. He says, but you'd never expect it. He says, you'd never expect it in that way. He says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. He says, neither are my ways your ways. He says, my ways are way above yours. He says, and this is what I do. He says, this is the way things are. He says, in my kingdom, this is how my kingdom is. He says, I do these wonderful and great things. He says, and they're really hard for you to understand. That's exactly what takes place. Because as he goes through the villages, and he's ministering to these people, and he's making his way to Jerusalem, Luke, you know, Luke is all full of detail. He tells you all these nice things. He says, as he's making his way to Jerusalem, he's doing all of these healings. He's taking care of all these people. He's doing all of these wonderful things. One guy says to him, Lord, is it just going to be a few people that are saved? And that really is kind of the crux of the question, isn't it? Because even the people that think that there's just a few of them that are going to be saved, they're pretty convinced they're the only ones. And it's really the key to the understanding of this. You see, you can't understand this question apart from the rest of the context that's offered. And that's why I hate listening to preachers take stuff out of context. As soon as you take this out of context, you can really mess up somebody's life. You turn around and you start to tell them this, and then you turn around and you tell them, well, Jesus said, you know, really struggle to enter the straight gate. And they don't understand what he's saying. Yeah, that's what he says. But why would he say something like that? After he just said, this is what my kingdom's like. Since it's like a woman taking a little bit of leaven, sticking in three bushels of flour, and all of a sudden, woo, everything is leavened. Why all of a sudden would he say something that says, but boy, you better watch it, because not many of you are going to make it. Because that's not what he says. It's not what he says. This is the term really to contest is what this means. It's the same term that's translated in the scripture like wrestling. He says, what I want you to understand is this is a fight for you. It's a fight for you all the time. He says, it's a fight for you. And he's really talking here about the Jewish leadership. It's particularly a fight for you. He says, and you remember in Matthew 23, this is what he says. He says, woe unto you, he says, because you stand in the door. You stand in the door. He says, you won't go in and you won't let anybody else go by you, though. You won't let anybody else go by you. And he says very clearly, this is what I want you to understand. He says, you're asking me, are there just a few people to be saved? And I know what you're asking me, he says, because what you're asking me is to particularize this and break it down into some little group that those are the people that are going to make it as opposed to the people that aren't. And I just told you two parables to understand what the grace of God is like. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is really like. He says, it's like you plant this little seed and all of a sudden this big tree comes out and birds come from everywhere to hang around in it. He says, it's like a woman that takes a little bit of leaven, puts it in three bushels of flour, and then all of a sudden you understand that, man, it just, everything is leaven. He says, then you're turning around and asking me, is it few people that will be saved? He says, you need to understand you've been blinded. Your own religion has blinded you, is what he's saying to them. And what he's saying to them is you really have to struggle to see the nature of this straight gate. People talk about the straight gate and they say, well, it's real narrow, you know, and you only get in there and people, only certain people can get in that gate. How goofy. What he means by that gate is him. He means there's only one way to enter into this. It's by me. And what he's saying to these people is, you've been blinded by your own religion, so you don't see me. He says, you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm here for. I'm not here to kill people. I am not here. And we talked about that last week with the tower that falls on people and all these things. He says, you need to understand. I'm not here to kill people. I didn't come here to kill people. I came here to save them. This is the whole purpose of what I'm here for, is to save them. I came here to save them. I'm not interested in sorting them out and sending them to hell. That's not my deal. Because I didn't come to do that. I came to save them. I came to bring this message of the gospel. I came to bring you grace so that you would understand very clearly, I receive you. I receive you. Your God receives you. Your God receives you. All you got to do is find me. If you find me, you found the gate, and it's done. He says, this is a done deal. You find me, you found the gate. All you need to do is point to the gate. That's all you need to do. Point to the gate. Point to the gate. He says, you bring me anybody, I will save them. Because that's what I came here for. But he says, but this is what you refuse to understand. He says, you stand in the doorway. He says, you won't go in yourselves. He says, but you block it up so nobody can get around you. You make it so hard. Because in spite of what I tell you, you ask me these stupid questions. There's just a few of us that are going to be saved? And it's got to be me, right? It's got to be me and my buddies. We got to, we're the right ones, right? And Jesus says, basically, you're blind. You're blind. He says, you don't even see what the point of this is. You don't understand. This is not the nature of my kingdom. He says, and I'm warning you. And that's what he says, I'm warning you. He says, if you yourselves, and that's what he said in verses 1 through 9 in 13. He says, if you yourselves don't repent, if you yourselves don't get beyond this blindness, he says, then you're going to be shut out. And he says, and that's what all the rest of this is about. He says, you're going to be shut out. He says, and you're going to hear, I don't know who you are. He says, and there's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says, because you're going to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets and all the things that your religion supposedly claims that you have the absolute right to. He says, you're going to see these people, he says, and you yourselves won't go in. He says, you won't go in. But then he adds to this, to understand, you're asking me how many are going to be saved. He says, there's going to be people come from east. There's going to be people from west. He says, they're going to come from the north. They're going to come from the south. He says, and as a matter of fact, what's going to happen, they're all going to sit in the kingdom of God. Do you ever wonder at that great parable Jesus tells them, you know, he's got a guy that's going to have a feast and he invites people to feast and they don't want to come. And really he's talking to the leadership, saying to them, you guys, you know, the invitation's been given to you and you won't come. He says, none of you people are going to come. You all make excuses. You're not going to show up. says, go out into the highways and the byways. He says, you go cover every nook and cranny of this town. He says, and you bring them all in. He says, you bring them all in. And I love that. They say, we did that. And he looks at them and says, nah, not really. He says, there's still some people out there you didn't get in here. He says, go out again. He says, make sure you get them all in here. Gets them all in there. Gets the whole load of them in there. Goes in there and there's one guy. He says, you're not appropriately dressed for this. And what he means by this is, I gave you the invitation, you denied the invitation, so now you just tried to sneak in here because you thought that was the thing to do. He says, take that guy out of here. All the rest of them stay. Do you understand how messed up we are in our heads that we think that somehow or another God's up there saying, well, I'm getting rid of these people. You know, I'm checking out these people. I'm checking out those people. I'm checking out those people. But me, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay. Man, are we messed up in the head. And we've really missed the point of understanding this. God's not chucking people out. He doesn't have any use for chucking people out. He sent Jesus to save them. That's the whole point. He said very clearly, he says, I'm here to save you. That's what I came here for. You don't have to ask me how many are going to be saved. He says, I came to save all of you. He says, I came to all y'all, you know, down south. I came to save all y'all. You know, I came to save all yuns if you live in Pittsburgh. I came and save all yuns. You know, I came all use guys for you youpers. All use guys. Because this is the nature of God's salvation. Jesus, his name means Savior. And he meant it. His name means Savior. His name is Joshua in Hebrew. Yoshua. Means Savior. Came to save. That's what he's telling them. I came to save. He says, I'm here to save all these people. And you included. He says, I'm here to save you too. If you will come through the door. He says, come through the door. Just don't block it up with your religion. Come through the door. Because as a matter of fact, you will be surprised. The immensity of all of the people that I save. You will be surprised. And won't it be a wonderful shock? And it says that then they came to him. You know, get out of here. Herod's going to come here. And he wants to get you. And he says, I am not worried about Herod. He says, I'm not worried about Herod. Herod doesn't really bother me at all. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. He says, I'm going to keep casting out demons. He says, I'm going to keep doing healings. I'm going to do all of this. I'm going to do this and do this and do this and do this and do this. He says, and on the third day, I'm going to be perfected. It's going to be complete. He says, my healing will be complete. With my resurrection on the third day, he says, the healing of this earth will be complete. He says, I will have received you unto me, and I will have remade you. I will recreate you in the image of God. When I rise from the dead, I will save the fallen Adam's race, and I will restore it in fullness. Through my shed blood, you will come to know the forgiveness of God, and by my resurrection, you will dwell in everlasting life. He says, Herod doesn't bother me. But Herod doesn't do a thing to me. He's not going to stop anything I do. He says, that's what I'm going to do. Because it can't be that a prophet perishes outside of Jerusalem. And he says, do you know, Jerusalem, how I have longed after you? How I have desired for you to come to acknowledge the truth. He says, how often I would have gathered you. I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her brood. I would have taken you in. He says, because as a matter of fact, that's what my whole purpose was, is to come and to redeem you and to do this for you. But you won't come to me. He says, you go off on this weird religious quest somehow instead of understanding, and you won't come to me because the only thing that you need to know is the grace of God that I am offering you. That's the only thing that there is. The only thing that makes any distinction in all of this is the grace of God. You need to understand your God is gracious and merciful. And what he's saying to them is, you need to understand you aren't by nature gracious and merciful. But Jesus is saying, I am. And I'm going to suffer and die. And I'm going to rise from the dead. And when I rise from the dead, I'm going to make you gracious and merciful. I want you to understand, I'm going to make this so clear to you that you can't see it any other way. This is how gracious your God is. Your God sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die. In your place, because you're the one that needed it. You needed it. Because he so loved you. But he also happens to love that guy you don't love. So he sent him for that guy too. So that you would understand your lack of love is not a good thing. And that you would realize very clearly that the love of God the Father through the Holy Spirit would come out in you. And you would recognize you need to get over your religion and you need to really care about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is ever and always right in front of you. It's always right in front of you. Because any person that you encounter is part of that kingdom. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for the sin of the world. And the Holy Spirit, as he says, is poured out upon all flesh. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So that our eyes would be open to see the nature of the kingdom. But he says to these people, your house has left you desolate. He says it's going to be empty. He says your house is going to be desolated. And what he's talking about is Jerusalem. He says it's going to be desolated. And that's what happened in the year 70. It was desolated. But he fulfilled it. He told them very clearly, this is what's going to happen to you. He says, the only thing that's going to make any difference is when you are able to say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. When you see and you know that I am your Messiah, I am your Savior, when you see that and you know that, he says, then you're going to be able to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you're going to hear that today when we sing the Sanctus, because that's what we sing. When we sing the Sanctus, that's what we sing. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why? Because by God's grace, we can see him. We can see him. We partake of his body and his blood. We come into this place in order to acknowledge and to know. Yes, we see you. We know who you are. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Savior. You are Jesus the Christ. And your blood avails for us. Our transgressions are remembered no more. And as a matter of fact, we have this wonderful peace that Isaiah talks about in chapter 55. He says, come, you come and partake of this. He says, but you don't have to pay. As a matter of fact, you can't pay anything. He says, you just come because the Lord your God has bestowed his peace upon you. And that's the point that we need to understand. Every time we come into this place, and not just when we come into this place, but when we go out, all the more, we need to understand very clearly, this is the work of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that now by God's grace we may live. We live. And we have a message of life. We bring a message of life into this world. We can go into this world and understand very clearly, we have a message of life. We don't have a religion to give people. I ain't got diddly squat to give them in name of a religion. I've got the living God of Jesus the Christ. I have the Holy Spirit of God. When I speak to them and I tell them this gospel, and it's not because I'm a preacher. Because you can do exactly the same thing. All it takes is to care enough and to speak the message of the gospel to somebody. Because there's a world of people out there that somehow think that God has something against them. That somehow or another they're not good enough, or somehow or another they've done some atrocious thing, or something like that, that keeps them from being able to be received by God. And nothing is further from the truth. There is not a thing that is further from the truth. God receives sinners. I had a guy tell me once, and I'm not knocking this, well, I am kind of, but hopefully there's forgiveness for that too. A guy told me once, you know, he didn't want to come to the Lord's Supper. So he didn't come to the Lord's Supper. I asked him, well, why didn't you come? He says, because I didn't feel worthy. And I looked at him and said, you got to be kidding me. Why do you think we come? You think we come to the supper because we're worthy of it? We come to the supper because we know we're not worthy. But by God's grace, we have been rendered worthy to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We don't ever deny coming to the sacrament. We come to the sacrament exactly for that reason. Because as a matter of fact, within us we can't find anything that says we should be worthy of it. But we come to it because it's freely given to us because we aren't worthy of it. That Jesus the Christ makes us worthy. We got to get over ourselves. My gosh, we are so bleeding narcissistic. If we're going to sit around here trying to find something good within ourselves, good luck. Have right at it. But if we're really going to be honest, we're going to look outside of ourselves for that goodness and we're going to find it. Because Jesus comes right to us and he says, yep, I did it for you. I did it all. I paid it all. I paid it all. You just freely come. You freely come. You freely come. You freely keep coming. And every time you have any doubts, you freely come all the more. Anytime you feel that you're not worthy, all the more so you get over here. You understand very clearly because there is nothing, 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 nothing that will ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The hope that fills our hearts by faith lets us come and we recognize his kingdom. Because all of us birds wind up in the tree. We all wind up in the tree. And the leaven penetrates all of us. And it leavens until all of us are leavened. Are there just few that will be saved? No. No, as a matter of fact. I came here to pay for the sin of the world. And I summoned them. And whoever comes, I shall in no wise cast out, he says, whoever comes, whoever comes. The peace of the Lord fills our hearts. The peace of the Lord. And in the peace of the Lord, you come today and you partake of his supper. In the peace of the Lord, you come. And you recognize very clearly, you come. Not because of anything that you have done, but because of everything that he has done for you. You come. You come and you freely come. And you freely partake. Then you walk out the door knowing that you have freely partaken. And you take that gospel with you so that more people will come and they will freely partake. They'll just freely understand. Can I come? You know, I love that when people say, well, can I come to your church? It's like, be serious. Are you kidding me? Yes. You know, conversation's over. I'll see you Sunday. You know, yeah, you just come. You just come. You come. Because this is the nature of God's kingdom. It's freely given, freely received, and it's forever. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, that's who you are. You are the gracious God, and you are the almighty one. Father, we behold your grace, and indeed, we are in awe of it. Because you are so good, and your mercy endures forever. And so, Heavenly Father, this day we come, we freely come. We freely come because you freely bid us to come. And we acknowledge you as the Lord. And we are fed, and we are strengthened. Because the body and blood of your Son is freely given to us to know, Father, that we are your offspring, and you feed us as your offspring. And you give us life, and you give us peace, and you give it to us forever. Father, may that so fill our hearts, may that message so touch us so deeply by your Holy Spirit, that, Father, that we would not be discouraged, no matter what the events are going around us in the world or whatever else, we would never be discouraged. But, Father, we would simply remain faithful in that message of the gospel, and we would bring it wherever we go, that people may know our God receives sinners, and he makes them clean, and he makes them whole through the blood of the Lamb. And he gives them everlasting life because he wants to. And Father, may we so hold on to that message ourselves until that day when we see you in glory and face to face, we confess your greatness. For Jesus' sake, amen.